The gospel reading for today is from Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus taught us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray. And that's what one of the disciples asked Jesus at the beginning of the gospel lesson, if he would teach them to pray. You know, each rabbi at the time had a personal instruction regarding prayer for his students, so the disciples wanted to hear from their teacher. In response, Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, as Luke records it. And if you were listening to the gospel reading, you'll see that Luke does not actually record all of the Lord's Prayer. You know, it begins with, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." You know, you'll find a complete version if you'll read the book of Mark. You know, our text, though, gives us enough to, well, preach on for about an hour and a half this morning, but I'm not going to. You know, Jesus tells his disciples to address God as Father, not as master or king or boss, but as Father. You know, that tells you an awful lot about prayer right there. When God hears your prayer, he doesn't view you as a grubby peasant or a slave or a lowly employee. And as the small catechism says, God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that we may with boldness and confidence pray to him as a dear child would ask their father for something. You know, you and I, each and every one of us, are God's children. "Hallowed be thy name" is the first petition from the catechism. And you heard what that means from the small catechisms. God's name is holy in itself. But we pray in this petition that it may also be holy among us. You know, how is God's name kept holy among us? When the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as children of God also lead holy lives according to it. You know, "This grant us, dear Father in heaven, but he that teaches and lives otherwise from God's word teaches profane things in the name of God among us. from this, preserve us, Heavenly Father. So we pray that God's word be taught purely and that we live it. Your kingdom come. You know, the kingdom of God indeed comes without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that it might also come to us. You know, please note that we don't make God's name holy, nor do we cause his kingdom to come. We pray that the Lord would give these things to us. And how does God's kingdom come? You know, when the Father in heaven sends us his Holy Spirit so that his, by his grace we believe his holy word and lead a godly life. You know, here time and hereafter in eternity. You know, we also pray that our Father would send us the Holy Spirit to keep us in the faith. And our text moves on again to give us each day our daily bread. Again, from the small catechism, God gives daily bread indeed without prayer, also to all the wicked. But we pray in this petition that he would lead us to know it and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. You know, what is meant by daily bread? Just our food? No, not quite. Everything that belongs to the support and wants of our body, such as food, drink, clothing, bread. You know, our house, our shoes, our home, our fields, cattle, money, goods, a pious spouse, pious children, and pious servants, plus pious and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, and good friends and faithful neighbors, and the like. So we pray that our Father would provide us all that we need. Now here comes the scary part. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. If you read from Mark, that reads, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. You know, the prayer in this petition, we pray that our Father, or Heavenly Father, would not look upon our sins, nor on the account of our deity or our prayer. For we're worthy of none of the things that we're asking for. Neither do we deserve them. But that's what God would grant. That he grants those all to us by his grace. So also we heartily forgive and readily do good to those who sin against us. We pray that the Lord would forgive our sins and forgive them for so much that we would forgive others. You know, the old pastor that confirmed me told us that those words of the Lord's Prayer were probably the scariest words you would ever read. Simply, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What God is telling us is if we are not willing to forgive others, what's the outcome for us? Do we receive forgiveness? You know, finally in this morning's text, we read, and lead us not into temptation. Now we know, as the small catechism tells us, that God doesn't tempt us. He doesn't lead us into temptation. But we pray in this petition that he would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh don't deceive us or seduce us into misbelief and despair and other great vices and shames. And though we be assailed by them, that at last we may finally overcome and obtain victory. You know, there's a ton of temptations that'll deceive or ruin you, destroy you. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, not that He doesn't lead us to these, but that He protects us from these. You know, run through the text of that prayer one more time with us, just a little bit different focus than what we first read. Father began the prayer, and at one time, only one could call God Father, and that was Jesus. You couldn't honestly pray that because you were sinful and an enemy of God apart from His grace. But Christ became flesh to be our Savior. At His baptism, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." On the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because of Jesus' sacrifice, God said at your baptism, "You are my beloved child, and I forgive you for the sake of my Son." You know, without Jesus, we couldn't even start to pray this prayer. Because we don't have a dear Father in heaven, not because of that, but because Jesus Christ dwells in us. And you do, and your Father in heaven delights in hearing our prayers. "Hallowed be thy name" is the next. And remember that this petition is a prayer that God's word be taught in its truth and purity, that we might lead holy lives according to it. Now look at Jesus' ministry in our very text. You know, Jesus is teaching His word in truth and purity to His disciples. Not only has He come to teach the word, but He's come to fulfill it. To fulfill it by His death and resurrection. You know, without His sacrifice, the word's unfulfilled. Without His sacrifice to set you free from sin, you could never lead a holy life according to His word. But Christ has died and Christ has risen, and He's joined you to His death and resurrection in your baptism, where He put His holy name on you. It's only because Christ is with you that God's name is hallowed amongst you. Next is your kingdom come. Remember why the Holy Spirit comes. Speaking of His death at the Lord's Last Supper, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it's your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper cannot come to you. But if I do go, I will send Him to you." You know, Christ and His cross, without that, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be coming, because He'd have no grace to deliver to each and every one of us. He wouldn't keep us alive in faith, because you'd be dead in sin. Not because Christ has made that, but because Christ has made that sacrifice, the Holy Spirit's coming to you. You know, Jesus is the answer in this petition too. If you've got the King, you've got the kingdom. And again, give us this day our daily bread. You know, Jesus tells us, "I am the living bread come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." Then He says, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Do we truly forgive everyone's sin? You know, it's easy to pray wrong so that it doesn't involve Jesus anymore. The most common, perhaps the most constant temptation to believe that God answers prayers because of you and your behavior, not because of Jesus, what he does and the faith that he gives us. You know, you fall upon this when you believe that God hears our prayers more when we've been good than when we've been bad. You know, if you fall into this when you believe that God hears your prayers when you are good, you're saying that God will only answer your prayers if you pray sincerely enough. You know, when this happens, God could rightly respond and say, "Why should I answer this prayer? Have you kept my name holy? Have you lived a holy life that, you know, is filled with the goodness?" You know, another way to stop praying in Jesus' name is just to simply quit praying. You know, we do not pray enough. We do not pray boldly enough. You know, can we really answer those questions as to why God should answer that prayer? Have we kept his name holy, lived a holy life, and responded to say, you know, just why does God answer our prayers? You know, we do not pray as we ought. You know, call me Father and ask anytime as we should. And we all too often say, pass, you know, I'm not going to pray today. There are various reasons for this, though. One is that we simply take for granted that we deserve the things that we have. You know, that's a terrible sin of pride because it denies God provides us for the sake of Jesus. It says that Jesus' sacrifices aren't necessarily for God to love you as a child, but another reason we may stop praying is when we suffer. We get frustrated. We believe that God isn't listening. Dear friends, this is also a terrible sin. We shouldn't get frustrated and believe that God isn't listening to our prayers. For it says that Jesus' death was only good enough to make you a beloved child of God so long or so much, but that God isn't always faithful. He denies the God is answering prayers all the time for Jesus' sake, but he is asking Christ. He answers even now with more grace than he'll ever answer on the final last day. Therefore, the Lord bids us to keep praying and to, as he keep answering. You know, the lesson is that the Lord will help you if you bother him enough. That's not what it is. It's even if you don't see the Lord answering right away. You know, he's at work according to his will. For Christ's sake, you're not a nosy neighbor, or God is not an irritated friend. If an irritated neighbor is willing to roll out of bed at night and help, how much more is your Father in heaven, who never sleeps or slumbers but watches over you at night? How much more will he do? And you know, if the Father gives you the Holy Spirit, He gives you faith in Christ, He has also given you faith that you are His beloved child. And so you are. You know, all for the sake of Jesus. So pray, and as you pray, rejoice that the Lord has already answered in Christ. And if He's already answered in Christ, then you're His dear child, and He will not cease to hear your prayers and answer them the way that's best for you. You know, He is answered in Christ, and He will continue to answer through Christ. And He does even now, for He declares that in Christ your sins are all forgiven. Amen. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.